Well, we're glad you're able to join us for our face-to-face ladies' Bible study here on this podcast. We're excited about the opportunity to keep communicating with you. We're trusting that sooner than later that our face-to-face ladies' Bible study will be able to be back together Fellowship Hall B there and be able to have our Bible studies and the workshops and all. But we at least want to continue our study in the book by Elizabeth Elliot, Discipline, The Glad Surrender. And so I'd encourage you, if you don't have the book, you could drop by here and pick that up and have that as a resource. I believe also we'll be giving you other materials as time goes on that correspond with this study. And we want to do everything we can to continue to be an encouragement to you. During these days, it's really important for us as God's people to rise, to not be fearful, to see this as an opportunity to encourage others, to develop our own spiritual life, to draw our families closer together. And we don't need to fear. God is in charge. We need to be wise. We need to be good stewards of our body. We need to be wise in all the things that we are encouraged to do and not do. But when it really comes down to it, we need to rest in the Lord. And so hearing the Word of God and having opportunities to be part of that kind of study, both personally, podcasts like this, and then live stream, all of that will help you keep your focus right. I do want to encourage you to take an hour with God every day if you possibly can. These difficult days need God's people to be meeting with Him. You might want to listen in on the message of last Sunday night as I talked about Daniel and his prayer life and the impact that that made, and I believe that might encourage you in the importance of your prayer life. So saturate yourself, don't isolate yourself. Allow God to just cause truth to come into your heart and have a very vital relationship with Him. I do want to remind you that we will be having all of our services live streamed, and information will be gotten to you about how to do that. You just go to our website and it'll be pretty obvious. And so we certainly ask you to either join us or make sure you're in some kind of preaching situation so that you can grow in the Lord. Well, we started the study last Tuesday on the matter of discipline, and it's a very important perspective. You know, we think of discipline often as negative, but it really does, as we saw the last time, get down to the core of our relationship to God. And in the lesson that is laid out for this time, it's entitled Discipline, the Answer to God's Call. Now, this is very interesting. When we think of discipline with children, we think of obedience. We think of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And certainly, discipline is used in the sense of punishment to train a disciplined life. But obedience is just part of it. It is a critical part of it. But what she lays out for this lesson, I think, is very important. You can't have discipline if you don't have a heeding to the person who is trying to train you. You see, imposed discipline is all about training a child to make the right decisions, to develop character, to develop a right attitude toward authority, to learn to prioritize time, to learn to have a right attitude toward their fellow family members and fellow people around that they're involved in. And so it is very important to control our fleshly, selfish desires and learn to habitually make the right kind of decision. And that's what discipline is about with a child. That's why we say that it's important that you teach a child to first obey immediately and then enforce obeying in a complete sense. In other words, when a command is given, the entire Command should be fulfilled in a reasonable amount of time. And then in the matter of being respectful, that's the third thing, to have a right kind of spirit. You can obey immediately and completely, but inside be still resisting. And then finally, for those that are getting older, to obey with the right kind of heart attitude, to do it joyfully. Well, that is all for the purpose of causing a deep transformation in the life of a person, especially for a believer, as a child comes to know the Lord, so that they will be making decisions that are biblical and right and not selfish, overwhelmingly for the purpose of serving others and serving God. But you can't develop obedience if you do not have a heeding to the person who is giving the instructions. And so the emphasis here is the answer to God's call. I often talk to parents about the fact that character traits need to be developed, good discipline in the life, and the number one character trait is being attentive. And I think sometimes, you know, people wonder, well, why is that the first one? Well, if a child is not taught and it's not enforced for them to be attentive to the person who's teaching them, the person who's instructing them, the person who is leading them, then they can't be developed. I mean, you can't develop the other character traits if you do not first enforce being attentive. A child's got to sit there on the couch and not squirm, listen to the parent teaching them if they're going to get anywhere. And that really gets down to the study that we're looking at. You look throughout the study of the Word of God, and our writer is right, you find God's call over and over. And those that heeded God's voice, who listened to the heart and directive of God, were the ones that God mightily used. She starts with the wonderful story of Samuel and Eli. Samuel was a boy. He was growing up there in the tabernacle. And frankly, the tabernacle was not the best place at that time because of the wickedness of Eli's sons, because he was permissive. But evidently, in the young years of Samuel, under his mother's leadership and guidance and love for God, Hannah was able to develop in him a heart for God and character and discipline. He evidently learned to heed his mother and his father, and he learned to heed the voice of God. And so as God was developing Samuel, he finally met with him. As you know the story, he was sleeping alone in the temple near the Ark of God, and there in the tabernacle. And Eli's voice, he thought, was being heard by him in his sleep. Now, it wasn't Eli, but because he was the kind of young man that heeded the call of those in authority, he was able to heed the call of God. After two times of going to Eli thinking it was him, Eli says to him, "No, that's not me. You need to sit and lay down, and when you hear Samuel again, you need to say, 'Speak, thy servant heareth.'" And so Samuel, of course, again, laid down, and he heard the voice of God, and he did exactly what God told him to do, even though it was very difficult. He had to turn around and give a prophecy to Eli, which was going to be very hurtful for Eli in the future of Eli's priesthood in his line. But "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." And we need to understand that God is continually, through his word and through the prompting of the Spirit of God, he is constantly endeavoring to get us to listen to him. Now, I just want to say this. God's purposes are always good. I don't know why we as human beings think that what God wants us to do is negative. That, of course, comes from our flesh. We're selfish, of course, our sinful nature. We want to do what we want to do. Plus, the world around us is reinforcing the fact that Satan is, world and culture outside of the will of God is a wonderful thing, and you're missing out if you're not part of it. But friends, God wants to bless us. He created us. He knows what's best for us. His word is not restrictive. It is actually the place that there is great liberty, great freedom. And so we need to really get it settled in our heart that anything that God speaks to us about, as it exposes sin in our lives, as the Word of God shows us what we ought to do, as God prompts us and convicts us, it's all going to be good. It is not going to be something that is hard in the wrong sense. If it's hard, it's going to be for our good. And so we need to be like Samuel. When we are prompted by the Spirit through the Word, when we are praying, we need to open our heart to God and say, lead us. When we hear preaching, we need to say, Lord, would you teach us and guide us and convict us? And as we have those promptings in our hearts, we need to have the same kind of heart. We need to say, Lord, I believe your way is best. Thank you for being involved in our lives. Just think about it, ladies. What a tremendous privilege to have the Creator of the universe take the time to write the Word of God, first of all, and then to illumine us individually because we have the personal indwelling of that Creator God in us, and then to give us leadership and promptings. I mean, it's an amazing, wonderful, wonderful thing. And so we need to just rejoice anytime we're convicted, anytime God shows us something, anytime God calls us. Our heart needs to rise in thankfulness, not in reaction. Now again, if we're walking in the flesh, our flesh doesn't want God's will. It wants self-will. And if we've been in self-will long enough, the world looks pretty good. And Satan looks really good. But if we are walking in the Spirit enough of the time, because we're praying and being serious about our walk with the Lord, the Spirit of God will cause our hearts to rise and we'll be able to respond in a proper way. Now, it's very interesting in God's dealing with Adam and Eve after they fell and after they disobeyed God, and they were hiding themselves because now they had the understanding of their nakedness, which was a tragic thing because they were sinners now, they needed a covering. And God calls out to them asking where they are. Now, he knew where they were, but he wants responses from us. God knows every thought that we're thinking, but he is looking for the exercise of our will. Now, ladies, we need to realize that we are not automatons. We are not just controlled by God. If so, he would control us to do good things. We are made in his image, and we have a genuine free will. And we need to be very aware of that. And so God's going to prompt us. He's going to ask us questions. He asks, you know, who told them that they were naked? What was happening? Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God required a response. This makes the creature that he created responsible to him, and it causes us to realize that we have a genuine personal relationship with God. Now, God goes on, and you see those that responded and listened to the Lord, and those that didn't, you see what happened in their lives. You see, obedience is definitely part of this, but there needs to be, first of all, this reverential listening, attentiveness to the voice of God, listening for it, wanting it, responding to it, and then acting upon it. Noah listened to God's plan about judgment. And God gave very detailed instructions as to how he would deliver Noah and his family and the creatures that were upon the earth. Now, if Noah had not been listening, and this was quite a specific set of instructions, if Noah wasn't listening, he could never have built the ark the right way and wouldn't have been able to save the human race at that point. Being attentive, listening to the call of God was very, very important. If you ever get a chance to go down to the Noah's Ark exhibit there in northern Kentucky, it is a tremendous display of the genius of God, and the instructions that he gave Noah were perfect. No other vessel could have withstood the tremendous, tumultuous oceanic and all of the different pressures that were going on at that time, with the waters coming down from above and the fountains of the deep being opened up. But this was the perfect way for Noah and his family and all the animals of the earth to be preserved during that great judgment. Aren't you glad Noah listened? And then Abraham, God spoke to him and when he was still in the Mesopotamian region and told him to come to Canaan. And over and over, God gave instructions to Abraham, and Abraham listened. He was already 75 years old, but the first set of instructions, which the Lord said would be a blessing to the entire earth, every people group on the earth, it's that important. Those instructions Abraham heeded. He never did have a home after that time. He lived in tents. He was a man that was even called upon to sacrifice this miracle son named Isaac. And because of all of that, Abraham was able to be the father of a nation in which the Messiah would come. And we are still blessed today, of course, by his obedience. So you look at the importance of Noah, the importance of Abraham, then Moses. It had been a while since there had been any voice of God. Moses had been in the wilderness there, having run from Pharaoh for 40 years. He was now 80 years old. But he heard the voice of God at the burning bush, and he immediately responded, "Here am I," to that voice out of the burning bush. And he was attentive to what the Lord said. Now, he struggled with it, but he listened and he obeyed. And as a result, the people of Israel were delivered from Egypt and the world and not lost. And again, the whole matter of deliverance through the Messiah, the veracity of the Word of God was at stake. And Moses, being attentive to the call of God to listen carefully to what he said, made the difference. And then you could, we looked at Samuel, David over and over, sought the counsel of God. Jeremiah did exactly what God told him to do in very difficult circumstances. And you have just one person after another. One that I think that we often would have come to mind is Isaiah. Isaiah himself was at a time that of uncertainty when he saw that vision in Isaiah chapter 6. King Uzziah had died. There was a lot of uncertainty in the kingdom at that time. And God brought him into the throne room through a vision of God. He saw the holiness of God. He saw the power of God. He understood his own unworthiness, that he didn't have the right to even praise the Lord. He said he was a man of unclean lips, and the whole nation was a nation of unclean lips, and God cleansed him. And then we read in verse 8, that well-known verse, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Now, he heard the voice of the Lord, and we know that he was very attentive to it, because he said, "Here am I, send me." And then God gave him the instructions. And so each of these men we know about today because they listened. And so the two words, discipline and obedience, seem to be interchangeable. But we need to realize that obedience comes out of someone who is disciplined, who is a disciple of those who are leading him. In other words, the disciples of Christ needed to listen to Christ, and they got enough to be saved, except for Judas, and enough to be loyal to him after the resurrection. Obviously, there were some real problems, but they listened and then began to obey with the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling them. And so being disciplined is not just human ability to say no to the lower instincts that we have, but instead it is the ability by the grace of God to follow, to value, to want to do what God says and what those in authority over us say. That's what discipline is all about, becoming a disciple. And that's what God wants us to get a hold of, is that our lives need to be just embracing how good he is, and that we're listening. We're reading his word. If you don't read his word, you're not going to be able to listen. We're praying. You're not going to be able to have an opportunity to listen if you don't pray. You're hearing preaching like you are right now, and teaching, and you're, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're saturating yourself with the Word of God so that you can really allow God to speak to you. You want to listen. You're making provision to listen to God. The Lord Jesus said those very stirring words there in the upper room discourse, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And I think we often make the mistake of looking at that word keep and just thinking of raw obedience, which of course is vital. But you're speaking of more than raw obedience. You are speaking of keeping. It has the idea of cherishing, wanting to really embrace what someone has said because you love them. And then if he said, "If you love me, you will embrace what I have told you. You will be attentive to what I have said. You are listening to my call. You are listening to my directives. And if you love me, you will do that." And God blesses those that keep his commandments. He said in John 14 that he would reveal himself to those that cherished what he said, those that were listening for his call. And I think that's very important for us to get a hold of that. This is a personal aspect. I remember in my parents' latter days how I cherished everything that they said, and I wanted to follow through on what they said. The more you love someone, like your wife or husband or those closest to you, you want to really listen to what they say. You really see as valuable what they write to you and the things that they comment about. And it's your heart. It's not like you're just obeying them. No, it's the fact that you want to keep. You want to put within your heart and respond appropriately to what they have told you. And so that's really the heart cry here. And when we do that, when we listen to God, when we listen to God's call, we begin to be prepared for the purpose that God has for us. You see, God's will is beautiful. It's perfect. It's exactly what we need. And so if we're listening, and if we're not letting the noise of everything else overpower, we then will have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us understand and then obey, and our lives will be transformed, and we will be living in the will of God, just like Noah accomplished God's will and we have been preserved. Same thing with Abraham or Moses or the disciples. You can go down the line. The impact is great when people are in the will of God. Now, we do live in a very noisy day, and we can easily escape listening to God and facing pressures in our life by numbing ourselves to listening to news or viewing entertainment or getting involved in social media, and some people even into video games and other things like that. There's just a lot of noise. And that's why we need to put our time with God first. We need to put knowing the Word of God as the primary thing, and then whatever is appropriate of these other things do, but not as an escape. Let me just tell you, you will not really hear the voice of God after listening to a full-length feature film, viewing that. You're going to be in the aura of that. If you're just really escaping into social media, it's going to be very hard for you to get back into a listening mode. There's going to be a lot of noise in your mind and heart. So that's why it's important to start the day right in the Word of God, to make certain things priority in the matter of walking with the Lord. And so we need to be listening. And as I conclude here today, aren't you glad that Jesus listened to the will of the Father? In the councils before we ever had creation, Jesus submitted himself to be the Lamb of God to take away our sins by dying. He gladly chose the Father's will. And even when his humanity, his perfect humanity, was just suffering in the garden, knowing what he was facing, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so really, at the very crux of discipline is the wholehearted yes to the call of God. We're listening. We want to hear. We want the direction. We want to bow before our God. And so, ladies, I do encourage you to really develop that ear spiritually to hear God's direction. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. You will not be developed, disciplined in your life if you do not learn to, when God says something and the prompting comes, to listen to it and then to say yes. And every time you take a step of faith, God's grace will transform you. It is a wonderful reality, and we're so thankful for the fact that God is willing to communicate to us. So we'll look forward next week to, again, bringing you the next chapter in this book, and may God bless you in a wonderful way today.